Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John gets jealous at a Boys to Men concert and teaches us about neuroplasticity. Meanwhile, I give our band's demo CD to Toby Mac in hopes of a record deal and ponder what it would be like to officiate the wedding of Kevin Bacon. Plus a conversation about the power of positivity and giving our spouse the benefit of the doubt and the danger of dehumanizing our enemies. Today's episode is not sponsored by Low Carb Chocolates. This Valentine's Day, give the gift guaranteed to start a fight. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Johnny has everything you want about a podcast. Nothing that you don't. It's Talk About That.
That's very manipulative what you just said.
I hope it's nothing that
not
they...
Not going to be nothing that they...
It's like a triple negative.
You think anything is perfect? Like, nothing that you... Even things that you like, isn't there something you would change? You'd go,
You know, when everything except my marriage. How about that?
As soon as I said it, I knew.
You knew it was coming.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
This is going out to you, baby. I know you're listening.
It's not like another breakdown of a Boys to Men song. Girl.
Girl, you know.
What happened to that? That stage of music is over, and it's a bummer, because there needed to... I want that back.
We can bring
it back.
There's
just like a weird break in the music where it's just like, girl.
Shoe girl, you know I blew it, but you know I still love you.
Yeah.
Please... He'd say anything right then,
yeah.
And you're like, he could be like, look, I know that I wrecked your car into that tree.
Well, in the road, he says, I saw you with that other guy, and it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
You don't even understand how much I love you, do you?
Yeah. Even though the song's about coming to the end of the road.
Yeah, please come home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, whenever...
Dude, it sounds like she's moved on.
Right. You've literally written a song about
this
it.
This is pathetic.
Voice of men, you're pathetic. Maybe yeah. It's time to move to the man side instead of the boy side. No, I told you I took her to the Nashville Symphony for Valentine's Day concert for Boys to Men.
Oh, okay, no.
With the symphony. Like it was probably one of the better things I've done. It may not have been Valentine's Day. I don't excel. Honey, you're hearing this.
Boys to Symphony, they called it.
I don't excel at Valentine's Day. Like that's not our big holiday per se. She would tell me, right?
I don't know.
Anyway, but we usually go out or whatever. I take Sadie out as well. We've done that since she was little. We'll go have a... It used to be just the simple Mexican restaurant here in Mount Juliet, and now it's like Cheesecake Factory or something.
Yeah, you've got to keep topping, right?
Right. But I did take Laura to that event, and I remember I was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because we loved the show. We loved Boys to Men. We're, you know, kids of the 90s. But... They started singing I'll Make Love to You, and they handed out roses.
Oh, boy.
They had roses on the stage, and if any of the women wanted to come up. And so, like, all these women...
Did the men not go up and get the rose for them?
No.
They left
their men in the seats.
To come get their own rose.
They got their rose and stood around the stage while some other dude sang I'll Make Love to You.
Oh, they actually sang it. It wasn't just like
instrumental. They're singing it during this is like... Oof. And they're all sitting
Wait,
here.
Boys to Men was there?
Yes.
Oh, I thought for some reason I just thought there was like a symphony doing...
No, Boys to Men was performing,
Okay.
With the symphony.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just remember Laura looked at me like, it's not like we're better than any of this, and we can like the song. It's fine. But
yeah,
it was just like, I was like, I'm glad that you're not up there right now.
Yeah.
Even though it's just a song with this rose staring up at some.
So she didn't go up.
She didn't go. She's like, I feel weird about this. Like, I don't want to be up there just without you.
Yeah.
This is our romantic night.
What if you both went? That'd have been something.
That would have been, They didn't invite us.
No.
I don't think the guys, that would have been interesting. Yeah. But it was just I was like, hey, Boyz II Men, you're not stealing my thunder.
Mm-mm.
You didn't pay for these tickets. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's aggressive.
Yeah.
You know.
I thought it was a bit much. I
hey,
was like,
we've got flowers for all your women. What do you think of this?
While
you
know, we sing this particular song.
I don't like the way this makes me feel.
Like, if you want to sing Come to the End of the Road, great, because you need to come to the end of the road and not have.
Come to the end of the show. Let me get out of here.
Not speak to my wife like that.
It's hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Yeah. Put it this way, I hung out in the parking lot just to meet up with him afterwards. Like, guys, I think you crossed a line.
There's only three of them now. One of them retired. One of them
had a bunch of health problems.
Yeah, he stepped away from the group. And what do they do with his parts? I always thought about that. Like, what was he? Which singer was he? Like, what part was he? They still have the low end guy?
They have the low end guy.
Or did one of them have to be like, sorry, you got to be the guy now. You got to be baritone.
Well, they're pretty prolific. My guess is they can sing.
Yeah.
Except the one guy that does the really high, like, soloist over the top, you know, it's almost got that.
That'd be me in the group.
If they were to add me. Love you before, baby. Yeah. He's the guy doing all that.
Oh, wow, John.
You know what I'm saying?
I think you're the missing piece.
Wow. Guys, that was my audition. Do you think they're listening? Of course, I just besmirched them. It was all in jest. That's what we do here.
You're like, leave my wife alone.
Hey, can
are
I?
You guys taking any?
You guys looking for a?
Sheesh.
I got a demo. Remember the days we used to carry demos with us because we
had
might.
Demos. You never know.
To somebody.
Tell you. We would open for these bands, these Christian rock bands, and we would have a little CD in our back pocket. This is how we're gonna make it.
Remember the guy that told us, man, when I go back.
He was cool. He looked us right in the eye.
He was
like,
I'm going to put my heart into this.
I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to open my heart when I listen to this.
And he did. And his heart was like, this is not good.
He did not get back to us.
No. I don't think his heart liked it.
Do you want to say who it was?
No, you
don't want to say?
We've said it before.
What's the point?
I'm not making fun of him. We just did his voice.
It rhymes with Toby Mac. he was very nice, though.
Oh, it was great. And listen, DC Talk. There was nothing bigger in those days.
No, this was like heels of like Supernatural.
Yeah, I mean, like they either were doing Arsenio Hall and all kinds of stuff. I mean, like, they were enormous, doing stadiums. I mean,
yeah, it's huge, but they did not sign us.
No.
To Goatee Records.
No.
Is Goatee Records still a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Goatee Brothers.
The Goatee Brothers. Well, but it probably was for the best.
Well, obviously, look where we are now.
Yeah. Toby will rue the day he ever rejected us.
He's like, wow, that's a podcast I never heard of before.
I never met him. I'm trying to think if I've shared stages with him, but I'm trying to think if I've ever met him. But he did a festival in Wisconsin, a big one called Life Fest, and I was doing comedy on that festival, so we got to see him perform. And it was literally that day that he came out and he's all like, I think I told this on the podcast, but he was all decked out and bright red tennis shoes, and he's dancing and crazy. And then they were putting tweets on the screen, live tweeting it.
Right.
People were obviously approving these tweets. But one of them said, like, I can't believe how good Toby looks for 50. Like, it was his 50th birthday that day, evidently.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's 50? I mean, I guess now he's like, that was 2015.
Oh, wow.
So he's almost 60 now.
Wow.
That's wild, right?
No, he can't be.
Toby is almost 60.
There's no way.
Look it up.
I don't. Again,
just take it into your watch. Hold on, I got this. How old is Toby Mac?
Toby Mac is 59 years old.
Wow, you're right.
Nailed it.
You're
isn't that
right.
Wild? So it's we all age, John. It's okay.
Oh yeah, it's great.
I mean, it's just wild to think of him like doing a show and then like he makes a wrong move, and you know Mandisa hits a high note, then he makes a wrong move and breaks a hip. Like that could happen.
I mean, it could happen for anybody, I guess.
I could have broken him. When I watched my video, I've talked about it last couple weeks ago. I did this. I was being an idiot on skates. And I'm doing okay skating around. And then I said, hey, film me. So my buddy Mike filmed me. And I was getting off the ice. and I just crumpled and fell very wrong. You can't control how you're falling. Uh-huh. And I've watched it 100 times now, and I've put it out on my socials now, so people are like commenting on it.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, so that's how you break your legs. That's how you, and I'm like, 100%. I'm 49 years old. Like, you don't just fall and be like, I'll be able to land. It could have gone so bad.
Yeah. But it made for good.
That's the only good thing about it is I was like, immediately I thought, I have to post this.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's, I like that about you.
You like that?
You had a humiliating moment, mm-hmm. and instead of hiding it, mm-hmm. you thought, you know what? People might laugh at this.
Actually, I thought, I bet this could make some money. I was like, I smell money. No, that's not it. There is something to it, because I think, I don't want to have like a curated image of myself online, and I think there's a danger of that, because I have a social media firm that helps me, and they're like, they'll put all these clips of me being this clever guy or being funny.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's part of it, but I'm also a big doofus.
Right.
So I need more doofus coming through, I think. People need to understand that.
Mission accomplished.
People need to understand, like, I'm not cool. Not even close.
I think people get it.
Do you think?
I think you didn't have to post anything.
You're right.
Hey, speaking of Christian rappers.
Yeah.
If you listen to an artist called NF.
Yes.
Bro.
Yeah. So my management used to manage him as well. When he was like starting to do theaters and stuff.
His opening tracks on every one of his albums are like these epic. Mm-hmm. I mean, his ability to put the number of words into the.
Yeah, he's ridiculously talented. Like,
it's crazy.
He's really good.
If you guys haven't listened to NF, he's really, really good. So, and they're very like, he's usually like having some sort of inner, he's rapping against, you know, like the shadow side or whatever is happening inside of him. But they're very, it's very epic. Very epic, very good. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah,
why can't I be more epic?
Well, we've tried.
I want to work on it.
Well.
I need to be a better skater. I need to be more epic.
Yeah, and a better rapper all around.
Yeah.
Remember last episode we talked about one of us trying to help the real Alexander Hamilton know what
rap
Broadway production will be like someday.
I think he would break his brain. He'd be, you know, he would think that you're crazy. You'd be put in an insane asylum.
Or actually,
that's the thing about.
What if he got it and he was like really good at rapping? What if like in real life,
you invented rap in the 1700s inadvertently?
He really was prolific. What if this was like? You know what? This makes sense to me.
If you had every other word rhyme and then somebody repeat that word as you say it, we call that a hype man. And he'd be like, "This is great.
I want a hype man."
Yeah.
Some might say he was George Washington's hype man, but that's another story.
If you go back even further, what if the Declaration of Independence was like? A rap battle. You know what I'm saying? Like that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
They actually have a video. YouTube used to do a series of epic rap battles in history or whatever, and they'd be like, you actually like it. I wonder if Hamilton came from that idea, honestly, because that idea is older than Hamilton. Huh. So there would be these, like, if Thomas Jefferson rap battled George Washington.
Yeah.
And it was like these funny, it'd be comedians would do it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Hamilton was like, there's something here.
I don't know. His
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
His process?
Yeah.
Laura and I were talking about this week how, you know, he took like 2 years.
Yeah.
And when he had finally written the line, then he would say, okay, I've said it now in 16 syllables. How can I say it in 8? Okay. Yeah. I've said it in 8 syllables. How can I say it in 4? Like, it's very,
that's the opposite of what you do.
Oh yeah. I take it like, I've said this in 4 syllables. How can I say this in 400?
How can I squeeze 50,000 words and get another book deal for this?
Listen, I'm a long form writer, Johnny.
You are.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else, though, is not long form?
What?
These ads that are about to come up. Once again, did the opposite pitch. Hey, take a moment. Let's hear a word from a few of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Wasn't that great?
It was. Is it a few? Is it more than one?
Usually? Yeah, usually there's two in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't listen to our ads?
I do sometimes.
Sometimes I do.
We appreciate our fine sponsors.
Yeah. Thank you.
They seem like they have good taste. They're good people. We hope.
I like when the Geico commercials come on
Yeah.
I kind of wish I could be on one of those. I think you and I could do a spot for Geico.
Yeah, they have funny writers. They seem to get, they kind of really harnessed the power of comedy for their advertising a few years back, and they really, like, they have an essence to their ads.
Which insurance companies need comedy because...
Yeah.
Like...
Well, they have bad reputations because they're kind of always like, hey, these insurance companies are going to find a way not to pay, so they have to kind of diffuse that energy. They're seeing people at their absolute worst.
Right.
Like nobody likes the insurance is a very like grown up thing. Right. So you need to diffuse it with like a childlike,
yeah,
silly energy.
But if you have to actually call and they deny you, which is often just the policy in some companies is, we just deny the first claim always.
Right. They don't have a good reputation.
You're like, but your commercials were so funny.
Yeah. Put the gecko on. Let me speak to the gecko.
Is Flo there?
He seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
Flo does seem like a good lady.
I want to talk to Jake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jake from State Farm.
Hey, Johnny, I think it's time for us to, I mean, we're not quoting someone else.
No.
Actually, we are quoting someone else.
Yeah, you again are saying the exact opposite of what we're actually doing. We're not going to be out here quoting other people. Here's the quote of the week. What's wrong with you? You're just a liar now.
They talked about that.
Lovely.
Johnny, I pride myself on being a host that just seamlessly goes between all these segments. We've been doing this a while. You'd think I'd be better at it. But today's quote, Saul Bellow said, "A great deal of intelligence can be invested in ignorance when the need for illusion is deep."
Huh.
A great deal of intelligence can be invested in ignorance when the need for illusion is deep.
Right.
I thought that was really a fascinating idea. That if you need someone to think outside or you need to recreate truth or frame truth in the way that you need them to see it, then you have to be really smart about how you make the ignorance sellable.
Yeah.
Which that's the irony of it all.
Right.
There are times I think with misinformation campaigns when you realize to get someone to believe the falsehood, it took so much intelligence. Like it took them.
Right. Took craftiness.
To make them ignorant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, I think C.S. Lewis had a quote about that where he said, like, he was talking about sin and he was like, if you just use education, you just have a lot of clever devils running around.
Mm.
And I think we have a lot of that happening now where you have like people who are like evil and crafty and they're outsmarting the good people because the good people just aren't willing to put in the intellectual work.
Right.
You know,
and I think it's an emotional work as well, because generally the most effective ignorance that comes on a mass scale comes through fear or outrage or entitlement. Like if you get someone again, but it's almost always against either a person, people group or a type of person that you can say, well, that they're not. They're either not good or they're almost not human to me now. I can hold them in contempt and that justifies my treatment of them or even my thinking about them. You know, I'm writing a book with someone right now and they're talking about the power of words, specifically marriage. And she said early in her marriage, she felt like this, or her husband one day told her after all these years, like, all you do is boo me. He actually told someone else, like, you, when you're a man, he was an athlete. It's like, I've been cheered when I was a football player and cheered. He was a pastor at church. Mm-hmm. And then I come home and I feel like all it is boo.
Wow.
Because you're always telling me what I'm not doing right, you know? And she was like, I'm not trying to boo you. I'm trying to help you because you're not doing anything around here. I'm trying to motivate you.
Yeah.
But she came to grips with, and the thing she said that she felt like God really spoke to her is like, hey, why don't you stop for a few minutes and pay attention to your thoughts? Like, how do you really think? Forget about what you're saying. First, what do you really think about him? Regardless of his performance or not, and we're not, you know, dismissing, obviously, situations where a husband's being abusive or a wife's being abusive or there's neglect or there's, you know, all those kinds of things.
You're talking about having a critical spirit towards somebody versus not. Yeah.
Like, you don't see the good. And what it actually does is produce more of the same, usually. I know there's a book, The Anatomy of Peace, I've referenced so many times. He talks about that, like, there are times when you react a certain way to the way someone's treating you, you actually are colluding with them for the thing that you don't want.
Yeah.
Like you go into collusion now.
Yeah.
You're just adding to it because they're just going to return now the same behavior, whether it's they're going to withdraw or they're going to, lash back out at you, which is what you're mad at them for doing, they're not going to show up more out of that negativity. They're actually going to show up less, and you've just exasperated your problem. You're a part of it. So I just think that that idea, though, of the words, the power of those words begins with examining your thoughts. And back to this whole quote, when I can be angry at a people group or another person, I need to be in constant examination. And I think that's the life in Christ is I'm in constant examination of this thought may feel just based upon the information someone has told me. Mm-hmm. Is it just biblically? Mm-hmm. Is it right before God? Even if that person is ideologically wrong, even if that quote person is quote unquote in sin, or there's a sinful thing at stake here that might be worth fighting for, but have I dehumanized in a way that Jesus would dehumanize? Can I point to a moment when Jesus dehumanized? And if I cannot, okay. And we would, there's not a Christian out there would say that you're not supposed to at least try to imitate Christ, as Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Right.
I'm supposed to imitate him. Did he ever do the thing towards his enemies ideologically that I am doing? And I think that's just that constant. It's simple. It's so simple. And it's not just what would Jesus do, but I think it begins with what would Jesus think. And if I can't think like Jesus, I may do some things like him, but I won't have the effectiveness. And moreover, I won't be formed into looking more like him. So,
And it's that need to be right. That's such a, like dunk, like the internet has given us that thing of like, it feels so good to dunk on people.
Yeah.
And you just got like, but what's the end of that? What's the end goal of that? It's not as satisfying as you think it is. It's like, it just makes us feel, and you never get the last word either.
Ever.
Because somebody's always going to be willing, look, I got all day, buddy. We can just go back and forth on this and disagree. I just don't know. I think, like you said, it's like, we're not changing hearts and minds that way. You got to look at the way you think. And the other thing in a marriage too, is it's like, if you see yourself as a partner to that person or like, well, I got to coach this guy up. How can I reach this guy?
Right.
Like it almost is like condescending if you come at it that way.
Right.
How can I get the most out of this player? You know?
Yeah. Well, and that's part of the deal. And there's a lot of research about that. When a marriage takes on more of a parent-child dynamic, and some of them, and here's the hard part for the listeners listening going, but my spouse does act like a child.
Act like a child. I feel like I'm raising him and the kids.
Right. Yeah. And I think that there's a validity there. And so we talk about that. There is a way to speak those truths in a loving way. But if you throw out all good, if you can't see any good, in fact, my therapist and I were talking about this and he's like, I think I may have said this, but it takes five. Did we talk about this last week? Mm-mm. For negative thoughts, from a neuroplasticity viewpoint, like from the pathways they create,
right?
That negative thoughts take up more space in your brain than positive. They feel bigger. This is why it's
definitely
easier
for sure for me. Yeah,
for
that rings true 100%.
Yeah, like you'll remember the negative way easier than the positive, especially about yourself or about others, right?
Right.
And he said, but they found now. I think it's maybe the Gottman research. Don't quote me on that, but for the last 30 years, they've been doing research on this, and they have determined that it actually, here's an actual number. It takes five positive thoughts or words or expressions to overwhelm one negative. That's the number, not four, five. Like anything less than that, you can't, it still won't sort of reverse the feeling or the thought processes of the negative. He said, so when he's sometimes just dealing with people in marriage, if they can't think of anything, he'll make them listen to the exercise. Like, I want you to say five things or 10 or 15, like try to overwhelm several negatives. And usually he said sometime around 10 to 15, they go, I forgot that I actually like you.
Right.
Like you just didn't know because you have been in the negative so long that it takes more positive to overwhelm the negative.
Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. I'm trying to think of 10 things I like about you.
I know. It's hard. You know, when you are setting out with a little exercise, like, all right, we're going to do some, the gratitude echo.
My mom used to make us count our blessings and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just like, okay. And then it would become, you know, you're just like, all right. But it is, I still remember it. It was powerful.
Yeah.
There's something to it.
Well, we'll go. I'll be like, I'll say one, then you say one. If we each say three, we've said six. We've overwhelmed one negative.
Yeah.
Right, by one. But when you're doing that, if you're not in the headspace for it, because we'll do it after school or on the way to school or whatever, and we're...
Yeah.
You know, she'll be like, I'm just going to say mine real fast. And that's what I want to do too. Because actually stopping in the middle of your day to be grateful, which I think, Johnny, and I'm sorry, we've done so many episodes, but we talked about the 10 lepers thing, but I preached on that last week or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the idea of the one leper that came back to say thank you, the 10 were healed, and Jesus says, where are the 9? And how we just take that and we make it about you're either a good guy like the one or right. you're a bad guy like
right.
the 9.
Make it binary.
Right. And that it really hit me one day that I'm all 10. And it's often the case for me numerically that it's only one time out of 9 that I stop moving to slow myself down enough to actually say or be grateful and say thank you for all the little things or the big things that God does.
Yeah.
Even the big things. Sometimes there'll be a big thing, a major thing. I talked about that in the sermon. Like one day, Sadie was like 3 and Laura's on a trip and woke up and she couldn't walk. And her little leg was like crooked. And like Laura was out of the country. She was in Canada. I was sending her pictures. I'm freaking out. Pick up my kid. Take her to the doctor. They x-ray her. Like, we're doing all, I'm here by myself doing scans. And one day she can walk. The next day she's crying. She can't walk. And we just didn't know what was going to happen. We're freaking out and prayed about it and put her in bed that night. Next morning she woke up. She could walk fine. Stuff like that happens to kids all the time. Could have been a growth pain. Could have been she had tweaked something. It could have been something really awful that God just healed.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, though, you know what you had the next day? A 3-year-old still that now you're chasing. And it's so easy to be in motion that you kind of forget that this could have been the end of the world for us, you know, and it just passes by and you forget how big it felt in the moment. So I think that also comes back to finding gratitude. It is a practice. It is an action taken that you will rarely feel like taking, but it can bring us into places where we're not just, you know, going after the illusion of negativity for others, but we're leaning the ways of Jesus. So,
You see people bend over backwards to make their illusions of the way the world works work for them. Mm-hmm. So I think there is a lot of intellectual, like, gymnastics going on for people to justify their biases or their negative beliefs. The work that they do, whereas if they would just be grateful and take the world at face value, I think we'd be a lot happier. But it's like, instead we try to figure out, like, no, this is my preconceived notions, and now how can I get everything else to line up with this? So it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What does Proverbs say? The one who speaks before they hear, to them it's a folly and shame. Like, if I'm already made up my mind and I can't hear anymore, to speak before I hear, it's both foolishness and it's shameful, and it causes shame for everybody involved.
Yeah, there's a proverb about that, about, like, and somebody said that the other day. They posted something, and I think it might have been a sermon clip, and they said, or it was just something they were speaking into people's marriages, and they said, I pray that when you hear this, because it's going to feel very hot take-ish, but I pray that before you even watch this, that you would listen to understand and not listen to respond.
Yeah.
And I think that is a key. Like, huge. Listening to respond is what we mostly do now. Listening to understand is like, it feels like you're getting ready to give a dissertation, or it's like for school or something. All right, I got to comprehend this and then vomit it back out. Right. So I need to listen to understand. Like, we don't listen in our conversations at dinner with each other to understand. We listen to, like, one up that story with our own story.
Yeah.
Or we've already misheard it and now we're going to cut them off and respond. You know, like, it's all about the response instead of trying to understand that person.
It's interesting. I read an article. They were talking about one of the highest signs of intelligence. There's a new study, is people who can be active listeners, who actually listen and listen. But to your point, they said that because most people, they cannot get past the distraction of what they want to say. But those who can put aside, it's a sign of high intelligence, who can put aside their own thoughts long enough to hear your thoughts. And I thought, you know, I wish Johnny was more like that. That was what I really thought.
If only, John.
Before I could finish hearing what they were saying, I was like, why can't Johnny do this? And,
And it was me talking, which is really weird.
I couldn't believe
That's
it.
Strange. I'm the one who
Johnny was on Apple News.
John, let's go back, all the way back in history. John, this week in history, it's the same we like to call Talk About Then. Born this week, John, 1804, American blacksmith, created the first commercially successful cast steel plow in 1837. John Deere.
Wow.
After noticing that cast iron plows did not work well in the tough prairie soils of Illinois, he had the idea to make a polished steel plow. With the success of his plow, he founded Deere and Company.
Wow.
And did you guys have fancy John Deere mowers, or were you, because you had your dad had the mowing
we
business.
Had Toros,
oh, okay.
Kubotas. Dad may have had
so
one.
So not American made. Is he that what made, you're saying,
wow,
John?
Toro is American made.
Kubota?
He made, no,
that
Kubota's
feels
not.
Super.
Yeah, it was not American. But wow. I think we may have had one John Deere of the time. But we had the big Toro tractors.
John Deere's, that's a high end.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like one time he may have had like a trimming mower. There was a John Deere mower, but yeah. I can't remember.
They're known for their green and yellow. It's a very stark branding. It's very, you know, it's very signature branding that they've got going on for them.
Very Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder which came first.
Why didn't they have Brett Favre? They miss an opportunity.
Yeah, he's
there.
Like the everyman. He's doing Wrangler jeans already.
I don't always mow my own yard, but when I do, I drive a John Deere.
That was a dead-on Brett Favre impression. Sheesh.
He sounded more like a...
John, born this week, February 1994, the Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Really?
Her name was Gidget. She was an American mascot. The mascot for Taco Bell, 97 to 2000, voiced by Carlos Alazacril. Lazacui. I don't know his last name. I'm sorry. Apologize to Carlos. She was originally cast as the girlfriend of the Taco Bell Chihuahua, but was chosen last minute for the lead. So bumped him.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Wonder what happened to that dog.
Yeah. Why are we not reading about?
Falling on hard times.
Yeah.
And it was gender bending. So she was, because the Taco Bell dog was voiced by a man. So it's kind of like, but she's a female dog. She must have just been unbelievable in this audition.
Wow.
So.
Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah. That was a big ad campaign. That was kind of like they were starting to, like that changed their brand. It changed their visibility a lot.
Yeah.
So.
You should watch The Food That Built America about Taco Bell.
It's always about pushing some documentary on
me. It is. I can't help it. It's so good.
Do they use buffalo meat? Because that would tie in with the other documentary from last week about the endangered
you
buffaloes.
You can come order yourself a Taco Bell dust bowl.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, fine. Now with bison. Okay. All right. She also appeared in the 2003 movie Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde. And
okay.
Bruiser's Mom. So if you ever saw that movie, which you're a big Reese Witherspoon person, you're a fan. John... Daniel Boone was captured by Indians this week, 1778. I did not know the story. It said he was again captured. So he was captured several times.
Wow, Daniel, why don't you...
Come on, buddy.
Install a security system.
The reason it was significant to me is he managed to escape by traveling 160 miles through woods.
Well, he was Daniel Boone. That's what he did, right?
But that's a lot.
I wonder how many bears
he killed. Long it took to get through the 160 miles. I would just lay down and die.
Yeah.
160 miles, you're that deep in the woods?
Yeah, but think about it. Laura and I were having this talk the other day. Because we were driving through some areas that look like Appalachia, kind of.
And you were like, I feel like Daniel Boone right now.
I do, right now, as I drive. Turn up the air. And it was like, there was a lot of poverty. And we were kind of talking about, like, where we were in an elevated area. It's like, where do they work here?
Yeah.
There was no big industry. There was no, if you think about the settlers who first came here, the point of settling then was just to find a place, a land you could live off of.
Yeah.
It wasn't to make money.
Right.
It was to find a place, cut down trees, build a house, dig a well or be near the stream, hunt. I mean, like you just live and, you ranch or whatever, it's self-sustaining. And so then when society shifted to where now, well, that's not really, we now see those people as poor, just living off the land. That's crazy. But that's Daniel Boone's trek, Johnny. That's how people lived.
He knew his way around the woods.
Yeah.
Maybe he walked around in circles for...
Right. Maybe it was only like 30 miles, but he walked 160.
Won't that
come
bridge.
On now, won't it?
It literally will. It's Exodus.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's like Moses with a coonskin cap. Okay, here we go. No, that was Davy Crockett. Who had the coonskin? Did they both have coonskin hats?
Probably.
Come on.
I don't know.
Daniel Boone? Davy Crockett? Don't you get them confused a lot?
People do.
I used to get Led Zeppelin and Def Leppard confused a lot in the 80s.
Def Zeppelin.
That's what I called them. And they're not even close to alike. They're not even close to alike.
No.
But it just feels like they're the similar.
Yeah.
Okay, John. Finally, this week, 1988, the crime show that asked citizens to call a crime hotline to help capture fugitives debuted on Fox Television. John, do you know that show?
Yes, I do. But hold on. I can see the guy. America's Most Wanted.
America's Most Wanted, John Walsh.
There you go.
Hosted by John Walsh, whose son, Adam Walsh, was kidnapped and murdered. So he had this really... That was kind of the big draw, like his passion
right.
for helping other victims of violent crime. So that kind of, and he was so good in front of the camera too. The show helped, I didn't know this, the numbers, this is why I included it this week to close. The show helped capture over 1,200 fugitives, including the kidnappers of Elizabeth Smart,
wow.
who was kidnapped in 2002. So like the impact of that show versus the other show that would run opposite it, which was like
Cops,
Unsolved Mysteries,
okay,
which was just like, we got no clue here.
You know? We're not even trying.
I think it's interesting, like the outsourcing of the police job.
Yeah.
It's like, look, we hung some posters up. That's all we're going to do. We're going to put their face on TV now. You guys solve this.
Can you do that? Well,
Robert Stack was just like, look, this may be a ghost. We don't know. This guy vanished. We don't know if he's still alive. I don't know. Did they ever solve the unsolved? Nobody, like, we needed like a follow-up program called Solved Mysteries.
They should have put them all together where Walsh comes over.
Yes.
He motivates the crowd to solve the mystery.
It's like, please.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, that's a, that they tried to, I think they tried to reboot that show. And it, I think now our culture is just like,
we don't want an unsolved mystery.
Well, we want a bow on the end of it because right. that's what, you want an update.
Yeah.
You want to see a video. When I see a video on Twitter of somebody like jumping off of a dam or something into a lake, and I go, oh, and immediately every comment is like, what happened?
Yeah.
I want to know immediately if the guy's okay.
Right.
You know?
Johnny, I'll tell you, I was okay.
Okay, good.
I got a lot of views off of that.
Jumping off dams.
I know. Got a lot of views. That's how I built my platform. Should have built a platform.
And then jumped off of that platform.
Right.
I apologize.
Come on now.
But yeah, we want closure, and that show did not offer closure. It was literally called Unsolved
right.
in the title. And they were like, they put an 800 number too, like, hey, if you know anything, but you probably don't. And now a word from Mentos, the fresh maker.
Right. Well, they did have a show that dealt with that later. They called it The Closure.
I think that was The Closer.
Oh, sorry.
With Kira Sedgwick.
I'm sorry. Well, they saw
who's married to?
Mr. Sedgwick.
No, Kevin Bacon. She's been married to Kevin Bacon for like 25 years.
Well,
that's the sixth
that's
degree.
The she's most, she's one degree, degree, and I couldn't even
Kevin
say
Bacon.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Mr.
She's Mrs. Bacon.
There you go.
But not, she didn't take his name.
Obviously.
Which I think that's fine. Whatever you want to do there.
Cedric Bacon. She could have hyphenated.
Kira Sedgwick. Kira,
everything's better with bacon.
Kira Bacon. Kira Bacon sounds like a unit of bacon.
Yeah.
Can I get some egg? Give me two eggs and give me a Kira Bacon and a glass of orange juice.
She could have wrapped her name in bacon. Wrapped everything.
Yeah.
Is better.
She wrapped her life in bacon.
Come
as
on.
It were. It's beautiful. She did.
I wish I could have done that wedding. You know what's so beautiful about this, my friends? Yeah, I don't preach like that. my friends.
You know, hanky that you produce? Keep wiping your mouth. That's weird.
They're like, why did Kevin Bacon ask John to do his wedding? We don't even know each other.
But something that's about the, this union just makes my mouth water. What a delicious couple.
It's ridiculous.
John, we want our listeners to know that we appreciate you. Go to our website, talkaboutthatpodcast.com. You can support the show. Upper right hand, there's a button there. Get ad-free content.
Yeah.
Lower right, that's how you send us a note. Or you can send a direct email to hello@talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Hello. You got to say it like that.
It's got to be all caps. Yeah. We love hearing from our listeners, yeah. And we love our beautiful patron supporters, too.
Yeah, so. Thank you for what you do. And again, new website coming out soon. It may be out by the time this episode's
up. That's true.
Up.
We've been working on it.
Come on now.
Go to johndriver.com. Mm. Find out what John's working on and what he has. His published works there for you. Go to johnnyw.com, johnnyew.com. New tour dates going up all the time.
All the time.
I'm just telling jokes all across the fruited plain.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
I'm out there.
Johnny's sleeping right now. This is a recording. I'm actually using AI.
I'm actually on a boat right now.
Yeah.
I'm on a ship as this episode airs.
Yeah. And with my friends, Dave and Ann Wilson.
Yeah, it's a marriage cruise called Love Like You Mean It cruise.
Yeah.
I did not get the Love Like You Don't Mean It.
Right, that cruise was...
No.
They didn't ask for you to...
No.
Their attendance is down.
They didn't mean it.
No.
They booked me and then they were like...
We didn't mean it.
You took us seriously? That's fine.
That's good.
Anyway, yeah, check that out. And I've got so many cool things coming up. And I want you to come out and say, the show's great. I'm really proud of the show right now. And I want you to come see it and play it with your family.
Yeah, just check it out. Guys, thanks for the time you gave us this week. Hey, let's do it again next week, huh?
Talk about that.
Want to learn more about God and His will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.